The Hudlines Christmas Stocking, starring Roy Hudd, June Whitfield and Chris Emmett, with Peter Moss and the Hudliners.
You know, it is nice of June to invite us all round for Christmas lunch, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it's an awfully long way to her front door, though, isn't it?
Oh, stop complaining, Craigie. You can put us down now and ring the bell. Go on.
Yes, oh, master.
Happy Christmas, June.
Oh, happy Christmas, boys. Come on in. I've got the lovely hot toddy waiting for you.
Well, hey ho.
Come into the sitting room. Roy, let me take your wet things.
I know, June.
Now, no arguments. You'll catch your death. Give them here.
Thank you, June, but do you think I can have my trousers back?
Oh, no. Who's that? Honestly, if it's those Jehovah's Witnesses on Christmas Day.
Can I come in as well?
Oh. All right, but keep him away from those mince pies, June. He can't take his drink, you know.
Oh, come in, Cleggy.
Thank you.
Oh. Hey, talking of drink, hint, hint.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'll go and get them. Cleggy, would you give me a hand? I don't know about you, but I don't like my toddy too hot.
57 minutes to go, Roy.
Well, if it's going to take her that long, I'm going down to Boozer.
No, 57 minutes to the Hudlines Christmas stocking.
Oh, I see, yeah, right. Just think, 25 years we've been doing our Christmas show, and this is the first time we've all sat down together over Christmas lunch to listen to it.
Yeah, just like the royal family, eh?
Yeah, we've given them some stick over the years, haven't we?
Yeah, well, look at them. Can you imagine it? Edward on top of the tree.
Margaret under it.
And Fergie tunnelling her way in. Oh,
yeah. I remember that sketch we did on them back in 1987. 87. 87.
Roy, stop shouting up the chimney. Santa's already been.
Do you mind? I'm having a flashback. Flashback. Flashback.
Isn't it wonderful, Philip, to see the whole family reunited around the blazing log fire, bathing the whole room in a radiant Yuletide glow of peace and harmony.
Oh, stop looking at those soppy Christmas cards and carry on peeling the spuds, will you? Oh, no, it must be old Cabbage Face. Hello, Charles, how are you?
Hello, Daddy. Hello, Mummy. If you don't mind, I brought someone with me.
Hey?
Hold on.
What?
You can come in. Come along, this way, don't be shy. That's it. Now stand there. That's lovely. You look very, very nice. Well, Mummy, what do you think of the tree?
Charles, didn't you bring young William with you?
Oh, yes. He's next door playing darts with Granny.
Oh, not again. I wish you'd get him to use a dartboard instead. I really...
Oh, I see. Where's Auntie Margaret?
She's over here looking at the furniture.
Oh, yes, from underneath as usual.
Another drink, Margaret. Say when.
Say when, Margaret. Better roll her into the corner before the other guests arrive.
Yes, who else is coming? Is Major Ferguson expected? Mm.
Oh, you naughty Dobbin, you. You've blown the snow off me boots. Look at that. Just look at the hall carpet, you naughty little horseshoe.
It's all right. Make yourself at home. I've done a few dips.
Have you? I didn't feel a thing.
We're going to be informal this year. Margaret's laid on a chicken dinner.
Well, that's it. She'll sleep anywhere. That
Well, flap me crudge. I'll have to find somewhere else to kip,
then. Don't worry. We were thinking of putting you up for the night.
Why, haven't you got a flag?
Talking of sleeping, Major, did you wake up to find Anything at the end of the bed this morning?
Yes, I'm afraid it's the old trouble again.
Gracious me, look at the time. Time to switch the telly on to watch that special, much-loved event that happens every year.
Oh, no. Do we have to watch you giving your speech?
Oh, no, of course not, silly. It's something more important and traditional than that. Here.
Oh, yes.
The hills are alive.
Where's June got to with those drinks?
Here we are. Now, who wants a festive punch?
Me. Oh!
Lovely. Here, put a key down the back of his neck.
Will that stop the bleeding?
No, I just thought it'd make a good party game, wouldn't it?
Stop larking about, you two. Get this down your neck.
Ta. Mmm. Whoa, you can taste the fruit in this.
Here, June. Is your canary escaped?
No, why?
There's a dead one floating in mine, ain't it?
Roy, it's a wedge of lemon.
Oh.
Now, tell me, what have I been missing?
Well, we were just talking about the last 25 years of the Hudlines. And do you know, June, Roy's only missed one show in all that time. Back in 1975, when Ray Allen had to step in.
Oh, that's right. You were stranded in France, weren't you, Roy?
Yes, I was trying to get back via the Channel Tunnel, which wasn't easy because I hadn't built it then. This was one of the sketches I didn't do. The other week, the Archbishop of Canterbury called for a moral crusade to end the economic crisis. So it seems that the church could soon be playing a much more dominant part in our political affairs. You can imagine what it would do to the House of Commons, can't you? As the Speaker took his chair in the chamber. Dearly beloved and members of the Liberal Party, I have taken today's debate from the Book of Acts, in particular, the Counter-Inflation Act and the Employment Protection Act. And lo, it came to pass that throughout the land the people fell into a mighty pestilence, which is called inflation. And in order that the mighty pestilence, which is called inflation, might be washed away, a terrible shower descended over the land. And the name of this terrible shower was the Labour government. But lo, there were yet people who heeded not the law, their government. And the name of these people was the unions who striked the strike. And the unions who striked the strike continued to live in their own little worlds known as Sodom and Get On With It. And behold, the heavens parted, and a mighty voice boomed out, saying,
You know, I've spake this before, and I'll spake it again. The current mighty pestilence that we're going through at the moment stems from the incompetence of the previous government. But fear ye not, children of Wilson. For lo, I shall visit a dreadful plague upon the land, and the name of that dreadful plague shall be Tony Benn. And lo, verily I say unto you, without fear of confirmation, I shall lead thee hence out of the wilderness and from there, yea, unto the promised land, which under our new community lands bill will immediately be put under compulsory purchase.
And behold, it was so. Thus endeth the Book of Acts, brethren. And now, he that hath A's, let him say A.
A.
Verily the A's have it. And thus it has come to pass that the acts have come to be passed. And now, honourable brethren, it is time for the main government business of the day, the enactment of Labour Central Economic Strategy. Ladies and gentlemen, let us pray. Where's Cleggie got to?
Oh, he's very kindly doing a little job for me. He's outside, sifting through all the gunge in the drain.
Each to his own, I suppose.
Well, I think my wedding ring fell down the waste pipe, and I'll never get a plumber out on Christmas Day.
Come on, girl, what about a refill?
Roy, honestly,
what?
You're not at home now, you know. One waits till one is offered it.
Who does one?
Yes.
One is asking for a smack in one's mouth in a minute. You're worse than my missus,
you are. Oh, boys, please. It's no problem, Roy. Here you are.
Ah.
I'm just so pleased that you're both here with me and not in the pub. You know, some men come back home rolling drunk and succeed in ruining the Christmas lunch. There you are, Chris.
Oh, thanks, June. Hey, let's drink a toast. To Trumpton.
Trumpton? Where did that come from?
I was just thinking about that sketch we did when the brave, dedicated lads of Trumpton Fire Service got nissed as putes.
Oh, well set up there.
Here is the clock, the Trumpton clock, telling the time slowly, steadily, telling the time for Trumpton. As long as it's opening time.
One fine day in Trumpton, the sun was shining brightly, a little too brightly, for a discarded whiskey bottle focused the sun's rays and ignited a pile of wood shavings at the back of Chippy Minton's carpenter's shop.
Oh, good,
said Chippy.
My dodgy insurance claim will take care of this.
But Chippy spoke too soon. Mrs. Cobbett, the flower seller, and neighborhood watch busybody had already telephoned for the Trumpton Fire Brigade.
Hello?
Said Captain Flack.
Flack here. No, I said Flack. What's that? A fire at Chippy Minton's? Oh, can't he wait? Well, we're all a bit tired here in the moment. Oh, all right, if we must, yes.
And in no more time than it takes to drain a six-pack, Captain Flack rang the fire station bell.
Oh, my head. Oh, God. Come on, you lot. Wake up.
Pew. Pew. Barney McGrew. Cuthbert. Dibble. Grub. Oh, no, I can't face any grub just now. If I did, I'd pew-pew all over the place.
Right, lads, we've got to get round to Chippy Minton straight away.
Why is that, Captain? Is he having a drinks party?
No, Cuthbert.
I'm Dibble, sir.
Are you?
Well, I think, yeah.
There's a fire.
A fire?
Yes, and remember, speed is vital.
It's vital.
So let's keep it really low and none of us will be sick,
all
eh?
Right.
So off they went. Their engine was red, the flashing light was blue, and all their faces turned Camberwick green. As they drove along, they sang their little rhyme.
Pew, pew, Barney McGrew, Cuthbert, Dibble, Grub. We all like being firemen, cos we're always in the pub. Barney McGrew, Cuthbert, Dibble, Grub, pew, pew. We'll splash you with our hoses, so the drinks are all on you.
9 hours later, they reached Chippy Minton's shop to find it burned to the ground, along with almost the whole village of Trumpton.
Call yourself firemen!
Wailed Chippy.
We certainly do.
Slurred Captain Flack.
Our hoses are well nozzled, and we are all completely sozzled. Come on, lads, let's dampen down the ashes.
But we've no water, Captain.
Not to worry, Dibble can improvise.
Yeah. And so our brave boys saved the day. Captain Flack was so pleased that he decided to give them all a special treat.
Right, lads, well done. After all that beer, I think we could all do with a curry.
Good idea, Captain. But where can we find one in Trumpton?
Where else? Windy Miller's.
Yes.
Roy, leave that Christmas tree alone.
I was just looking at the decorations on it. Here, June, is this angel hair or cobwebs?
How very dare you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, dear, June, one of your balls has dropped off there. Ah, oh, come in. Ah, Bert.
Betty now, Doctor.
Yes, Betty, what can I do for you?
Well, Doctor, ever since the sex change, I've felt there's been something missing.
Well, actually, that is part of the procedure, yes.
No, it's not just that. It's that I don't feel quite feminine enough.
Oh. Have you thought about getting rid of the pipe?
Actually, I was thinking more along the lines of getting bigger breasts.
Ah. You do appear to still be thinking like a man. Take this.
Oh, is it an appointment to have my boobs done?
No, it's a letter to your employer telling him to pay you half of what your male colleagues get and not to bother promoting you.
But that is totally unfair.
Well, now you feel like a real woman, don't you? Not that I care, mind you, but what has happened to Clegg?
I'll go and see how he's getting on with that drain. Help yourselves to drinks and no reminiscing while I'm gone.
In that case, time for an ad break. Oh, hello. I'm your new neighbour. I was wondering if perhaps I could come in for a coffee. And maybe afterwards we could, well, have a chat. And maybe once we've got to know each other a bit more, we might even find ourselves in the same bed together. What do you say?
Look, you, isn't it, haven't I? I've told you before, Owen, I'm not interested in a pact with you or anybody in the SDP. Now bugger off.
I hope I haven't missed anything.
No, Jim, we were only slagging you off. Now, where's Clegg, then?
Ah, well, you see, I've got a slate loose.
We've known that for years, June. It's part of your eccentric charm, darling.
A slate on my roof, Roy, and Cleggy has very kindly offered to fix it for me.
What, in this weather? Mm.
Clumsy Pratt!
Oh, dear, will he be all right?
Yes, he landed in the compost heap. He'll
oh,
be all
no.
right.
No, I'd better sort this out. Excuse me a moment. Richard! Get back up that ladder at once, you skiving little oik, or there'll be no flaming brandy on your pudding.
Oh, dear, that voice. Come away from the window, my little piranha, and attend to my tick-tock.
Oh, dear, said Chris, I feel a sketch coming on. Series 28, Programme 3.
They love me, they love me not, they love me.
Ah, you're in the laboratory, Prime Minister, and still pulling hairs out of your heseltine doll, I see.
Oh, it's no good. We need more power, Waddington, more power. Oh, I'm sorry. We just can't get the toad's blood since Lawson left. Tell me, Waddington, are the peasants still revolting over our community charge?
Yes, I'm afraid so. I'm concerned about you, PM. Completely isolated in this big house?
What are you talking about? Number 10 isn't completely isolated.
No, but you are. That's why I'm looking into your security.
Ah, to keep the masses out.
No, to keep you in.
Oh, no, they're off again.
Oh, it's all the fault of those 30 Labour MPs telling people not to pay the poll tax.
Disgraceful people can't just choose which laws they'll obey.
Like you do with the common market, you mean?
Handbag!
Ooh!
What's that?
Don't tell me Cecil's got caught in his zip again, is he?
Oh, no. It's terrible. It's horrible. It's...
Did someone mention lunatic extremists?
Tibbet!
Yes, Prime Minister.
We banished you to live with the mindless zombies.
You shouldn't talk about Sky Television like that.
Well, you're out of luck, Tibbet. There's no vacancy at number 10.
Oh.
You'll have to stay with Transylvanian Telecom.
Oh, come on, Norman. Do what you're best at. Attacking the BBC for bias on Blue Peter, you know. Terrifying old lady pensioners.
Well, it doesn't terrify this one. Good. He's vanished in a puff of smoke. Oh. It's like being stuck in the lift with Nicholas Ridley.
Oh, Prime Minister, we're in trouble. There's another poll tax demo.
We won't pay the poll tax. We won't pay the poll tax. Tra-la-la-la. Tra-la-la-la.
Well, it's not going to change our mind. Just a worthless rabble who've never done a day's work in their lives.
The most wonderful description I've ever heard. I really think you should see them.
But get rid of the poll tax to please some layabouts with no future. Who are they? Class war hooligans? Militant tendency? Socialist workers?
No, it's the cabinet.
For years, I've been a police horse, stepping proudly through London by day. At night, I'd relax in my stable and chew on a bundle of hay. Every morning my rider would wake me, and he'd burnish my coat shiny black. And the kiddies would cheer as I passed them, and my rider would smile and wave back. My harness would jingle, my stirrups would glow, and the stick in its holster was only for show. I stood in Trafalgar Square on all sorts of occasions, part of the pageantry, part of the scene, just like Trooping the Colour and God Save the Queen. It may be a bit old-fashioned, but I look at it this way, you see. If it's good enough for England, it's quite good enough for me. Last Saturday, something was different. It was not such a jolly old ride. What kiddies there were didn't cheer us. No one seemed to be on our side. For the people don't want the new poll tax, so they'd gathered to march and to chant. You would think that they'd simply repeal it, but it seems for some reason they can't. Then part of the crowd, they began to use force. I don't understand it, but I'm just a horse. Black smoke in Trafalgar Square, and street fighting in Whitehall. All that I knew was confusion and pain, as a barrage of bricks came down St. Martin's Lane. It isn't my wounds that hurt me, but the reason I'm sad is because if it's good enough for England, then England's not what it was.
Thank you. A little recitation is spoken from the mouth entitled The Robot Butler or A Silicone Valet. Thank you. A gentleman needed a servant to act as his personal aide, so he bought a mechanical butler because his wife caught him snogging the maid. His body was made out of plastic because metal and timber were sparse. His bottom contained double glazing, which gave him a pain in the glass. A microwave sat in his belly to heat up a burger and fries, while tea was dispensed in a jiffy through a spout that appeared from his flies. The butler felt tugs on the heartstrings within his mechanical guts. He fell for a girl with a spanner who had learned how to tighten his nuts. The girl won him over to marriage. The butler succumbed to her flattery, but the honeymoon ended too quickly because the missus had flattened his battery. Pull! Pull!
Well, we're not doing a royal sketch, are we? Have I missed something?
No, Roy's pulling all your crackers, June. Oh.
Yeah. I can't help it. I'm addicted to bad gags. Listen to this. What did the French chef do when one of his customers fainted? Gave her the quiche of life. Oh. Did you hear about the Irish caterpillar? Turned into a frog. Here.
Here's another one. Hey, listen to this.
Recently, a surgical swab was found in a patient that had been left there 36 years ago. But is this the only foreign object to find its way into NHS patients? The hospital had lines scrubbed up for the operation. Scalpel.
Scalpel.
Clamp.
Clamp.
Forceps.
Forceps.
Right. That's the swab removed. That's not the problem. Come on. Here we are. This is what's causing all the trouble. Yes. Yes, that's got the little fellow out.
What on earth is it?
Good Lord, it can't be.
Still asleep after 36 years.
It's a junior doctor.
Do you know, I've never heard of anybody who took a harp to a party. Unless it was a six-pack. Give it here.
No, leave it alone.
Give me that harp at once.
No, I found another one. Let me play it in. It's about the Gulf War back in 1991.
Oh, all right, just this one then.
Thank you.
Did you hear about the fireman called out to a blaze at a block of flats? He goes up 10 floors on his ladder, and there at the window is a 42-stone woman. He looks at her and says, "How am I going to get you down?" And she says,
"Just hold everything."
Exactly. Hang about. Hang about. Who are you?
Oh, let me introduce myself, Mr. Hudd. I am Ernest Pratt.
I thought so, yes.
I am the BBC's BBC.
BBC?
Bird Brain Sensor.
Oh, dear. Oh, now, what have I done now?
Is this fireman joke of yours, Mr. Hudd? I'm afraid we can't allow it to proceed. Material of this sensitive nature must be censored by the BBC, given the current situation in the Gulf.
Sensitive material? Why is it sensitive?
Well, Mr. Hudd...
Call me Roy.
Well, Mr. Hudd... It's about firemen, isn't it? And what do firemen have in their buckets,
I'm sorry?
Sand, Mr. Hudd, sand.
Sand.
That sand is a clear reference to the desert, so I'm afraid we're cutting this sketch.
Oh.
Is it, Mr. Hudd? We can't have our listeners being upset. That's why I'm here.
Well, you said it.
Well, you'd better get on. But remember, I'll be just over there, watching everything from the wings.
Oh, dear, wings. Hmm? Isn't that a bit too RAF, eh?
Oh, dear, yes, perhaps you're right. I'd better shoot off and keep my head down. Oh, what the...
Look, I know we're going through a bit of a tough time at the moment, and like most people, I'm a patriot. But this really
is... Right, that's it. I gave you ample warning.
What is it now?
As official BBC Gulf censor, I forbid you to use the word patriot. It's an American missile, man. Are you mad?
I think one of us is, that's for sure.
If you carry on like this, soon you'll be picking up your P-45.
Oh, is that something like a B-52?
All this talk of the Gulf just upsets our listeners. And besides, the BBC could put the extra airtime to good use.
Really? What for?
Well, we need more room for our news bulletins, don't we? There's the Gulf headlines, Gulf update, the 3-hour daily Gulf special, Gulf report, Gulf roundup, desert conflict discs. Down your Gulf.
Oh.
Yes?
Gulf off. Now, give me that flaming harp.
You snapped my G-string.
Happy Christmas. Here, how's the lunch coming on, June?
Oh, fine. Everything's in hand. I've had the sprouts on since 10 o'clock.
Yes. Very nice. You look at them, do you?
Hey, what about some music? Hey, got any good CDs, June?
I can do better than that. Let me show you this, a musical Christmas card. I'll open it.
Of a white Christmas.
Blimey, that's the first time I've seen a Christmas card with stereo speakers. Who sent you that?
Pete Moss.
Flash git.
Well, it's better than the card you sent me, Roy.
What, this one? Roy, you sent June a 24-year-old Frank Sinatra sketch?
Well, it's a good one, that. You open it and see.
Talking of antiques, Frank Sinatra's been in the news lately. A university has awarded him a doctorate of humanities. As his wife said last night, if Frank Sinatra can get a doctorate just by singing, it must have been a pretty peculiar interview.
Now, Mr. Sinatra, before you go in for your final exam, you have to have a medical.
Now?
Yes, now. What do you think of the idea?
The end.
So you'll be glad to know the doctor,
is near.
Quite so, he is near.
And so I face the final...
Not yet, because I'm going to do the checkup. So take all your clothes off and go behind the...
curtain.
Quite so, yeah.
My friend...
Yeah, I'm afraid you'll have to undress that as well.
Now, all you have to do is say ah a few times.
I'll say it clear.
That's the spirit. And then you just fill in these forms.
I'll state my case.
Yes, every case of any disease of what you've ever suffered. Of which you've ever suffered. Are you sure that sounds right?
I'm certain.
My word, you do look a bit old to be at university.
I've lived a life.
How are you getting on with that sample bottle?
That's full.
Already? Splendid. Good. Now to your expenses for coming here. Do you go first or second class?
I've traveled each.
And you came on the main road from the station?
And every byway.
Well, in that case, we can only cover some of your expenses. Say $20.
But more.
Well, $30 then.
Much more than this.
Good heavens, you must have come a long way around.
I did it my way.
Oh, look out. You're overflowing the bottle.
Regrets.
Oh, no, don't apologize.
I've had a few.
I can see you have.
But then again...
No, that'll be quite enough.
Too few to mention.
It's all right, you can stop now.
I did what I had to do.
Yes, so you did, but what are we going to do now?
Saw it through?
Good heavens, that's a bit drastic, isn't it? Stop. Nurse, bring a bucket and a mop, will you? Quick, before the doctor gets back.
Have I passed?
I should say you have. And next time, I'll be glad if you did it my way. Nurse!
I'll do it my way.
Hey, look at this card, Roy. June's had one from John and Norma.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen one with grey glitter before, really.
We got some mileage out of those two over the years, didn't
we?
Not
much, eh? Oh, yeah. And thanks to you, June, for reviving Eth, especially for us.
Not that I approved of turning the majors into the glums. But it was fun, wasn't it? Do you remember this one?
Oh, dear, now, what's it to be? A November election or wait till next year? This is my big chance to show how decisive I can be. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
La, 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 la. John?
Oh, my little Nessum Norma.
Is Mr. Kissikins coming to bed, dearest? Mrs. Snoggypuss is getting cold.
Baker says we should have it now.
What's it got to do with Mr. Baker when we have it?
I think I'd prefer to wait till May.
Wait until May? Well, if you think
no,
I...
No, for the election, my little angel.
Oh, sorry. Oh, I see. Well, if Baker suggests having it now, there's your answer. I mean, when was he ever right?
Oh, now. Don't talk about Mr. Baker like that, Norma. He's a highly respected member of the government.
No, he is not. He is a walking disaster. The poll tax, the Education Act, and now Law and Order. With a track record like that, he should be running British Rail.
I know, Norma, but he could be right this time. My problem is, I can't really believe we're so high in the polls.
Oh, but... it's you, dearest. It's your charisma.
Oh, yes.
People trust you to put things right.
Oh, Norma.
So come to bed with Mrs. Snoggypuss and leave all this worrying to the Prime Minister.
Oh, all right. Hang on.
What now?
I am the Prime Minister.
Oh, don't be silly, John.
But I am.
Oh, rubbish, I'd have noticed. Anyway, I've seen him on the telly. He's a rather nondescript, boring little man with a... Oh. It is you, isn't it?
Of course it's me. That's why I've been working so hard. Do you know I was up until nearly 9 o'clock last night?
Oh, thank heavens for that, John. I thought you must be having a... Well... With another... You know what a sex bomb you are. Oh, John, let me run my fingers through your hair. Oh, you need an oil change. Now, take off your glasses.
Like this?
Yes. Yes. Oh, my God, John, you're...
Yes?
Exactly the same. Well, never mind, leave them off and kiss me.
Right. Where are you, Norma?
What?
I can't see you without my...
Oh, John, I am a woman with a woman's needs. You just don't understand a woman's appetites.
Well, of course I do, my angel. I'll get the chocolate hobnobs.
Oh, John, you mad crazy fool. Quick, while the mood's on me. Oh,
no, 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 I mustn't. Duty awaits. I must sort out when to have the next election.
But why? Why now?
Well, isn't it obvious?
No.
To give myself as long as possible to decide.
The date of the election?
No, no.
What then?
Who I'm going to vote for.
Oh, John.
Oh, I really miss those two.
Yes, unlike these two.
Take that, Bill Clinton.
Oh, careful, Hillary. You all nearly caught me with that plate. Come on, honey. I've got to work on my gun control law.
You all shut your cotton-picking mouth, Bill Clinton. Before I forget, I'm a... A lady.
Well, of course you are, honey. In fact, you're my first lady.
I'm more concerned about being your only lady, Bill. Seems to me you've been getting more exercise than a rooster with his own key to the hen house. There's this Paula Jones woman suing you. What in tarnation was you thinking of asking her up to your hotel suite?
Oh, just trying for a bit of room service. Jeepers, Paula Jones ain't got nothing to worry about.
You plumb loco, she's gonna have you over a barrel.
No chance, not on the first date, anyhow, no. Let her sue. I done got me one of the best attorneys in town.
And as I always say, one good attorney deserves another. Good to meet you, sir, Mrs. President. I am Hiram Z. Bimbo Chaser, Jr., the fourth. But you can call me third for short. Madam, my card.
Say, this is Bill's telephone number.
Sure thing, lady. Everyone's got his number. And they don't get any better, folks. I've been looking at the case, and it seems to me that the party of the first part, hereinafter known as the party of the second part, claims that the party of the third part, notwithstanding the party of the fourth part...
It sounds complicated.
Well, I know how you like parties, Mr. President. If you just want to sign some papers.
Oh. Hi. Yes, yeah, sure, love to. Send her over this evening. Funny, I never even heard of Lady Buck. This case is ridiculous. It'll never stand up in court.
Do you want to say it, or shall I?
And it's interfering with my work as president. I've got to be banning dangerous guns, getting America back to work.
Hey, Bill, you gonna come back in this hot tub? I still need help finding that cell.
Wow, employment's not the only thing that's been rising. Say, you could always marry this Paula Jones woman.
I got a wife. That'd be big of me.
Well, Hillary's been pretty big about it so far. Nope, there's only one way to keep you out of trouble, Mr. President. We're going to have to use that new law of yours and put a lock on your pants.
A lock? My new law? You mean...
Yep, ain't you the one who believes in keeping dangerous weapons away from the American public? What?
Roy, will you want stuffing?
June, how long have you been on the hard lines?
Ask a silly question. I've done extra just in case. Would you care to come into the library?
Ooh.
I have something to show you both. There. What do you think of my library?
Good grief, June. I've never seen so many books in all my life.
Yes, and everyone the same. 10,000 copies of your autobiography.
Well, I just got a few in for friends.
Yes.
Have you read it yet? It's all there, you know, how I started in the business. I'll never forget my first gig, Bartley Variety Club.
Oh, allow me. Testing, testing. One, two, one. Ladies and gentlemen, before we continue with this evening's concert, the management would like to apologise for the theatre sound system. Unfortunately, we seem to be picking up radio messages from our local cab company.
Sorry, Control, you're breaking up there.
Oh, dear, see? Well, we'll try and rectify this, ladies and gentlemen, but meanwhile, May I introduce...
A woman in a big red hat with two suitcases.
singing a much-loved favourite. Thank you.
When true lovers meet in Mayfair, so the legends tell, songbirds sing.
Traffic jams are ill.
Every winding street
gets blocked up. Mayfair's jammed as well.
I know such enchantment can be, for it happened one evening to me.
Well, shift your arse then.
That certain night, the night we met,
you can smell diesel fumes
in the air.
There's these workmen
dining at the Ritz,
and they've left a big hole
in Berkeley Square.
Blimey, pigeon shovel, God.
The moon that lingered over London town.
That workman there, his jeans are off down.
How could he know we two were so in love? The whole darn world.
Get lost, Gub. You're not in any rush, are you?
This heart of mine beat loud and fast.
When we're jammed, it can double.
Affair.
It's those workmen.
Dancing cheek to cheek.
They've been at it for years.
In Berkeley Square. The streets of town were
still jammed tight.
It was such a romantic affair. And as we kissed and said goodnight,
that pigeon let rip.
In Berkeley Square.
Give me that flipping harp.
No, let go, Roy. Roy, let go.
Swanning around like Mrs. Dale's diary.
No, give it here. Please.
That was a harp of quality.
And now it's a heap of rubbish.
You'd never get a job as a removal man, Roy.
What are you talking about? We helped the Blairs move into number 10, didn't we?
Ah, yes, Tony Blair.
Well, there you go, Mr. Blair. That's your lot.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Working Class Chappie. please, be careful with that trunk. It's got Prescott in it.
Should I let him out now, Tony?
The workers united will never be divided.
Better not. No, Sherry, no.
Right, we'll be off then, shall we?
No. Hang on. I did promise you a little extra something if you got us here before 10:30.
Righty-o, Squire. Thank you very much.
So, here's a tip.
Aye.
Never trust a Labour politician when he makes you promises. Now, be off with you before I set Jack Straw onto you.
Right, that's it. Come on, mate. Everybody out. Come on out.
Oh, hey, come back. Come. You can't just leave the lorry there. Oh, really, you can't get the staff, can you?
What's going on down there?
Oh, we're just moving in, Major, that's all. Don't worry, we won't get in your way.
How many times do I have to tell you, Blair? It's not over till the fat lady sings.
Is Claire Short coming round, then?
Never mind all that. Just get your lorry off my front lawn. It squashed one of my gnomes, look. Stay there, I'm coming down.
You don't think he could be right, do you, Sherry? I mean, we have won this time, surely.
Whatever happens, you've got a lot of votes.
But what if I haven't got an overall majority?
Then you'll be needing me, won't you, chummy?
Ash down.
Yes.
Where do you spring from?
Oh, you know us SAS types. We blend in with the background and then suddenly... when you least expect it, we spring.
With all the coiled-up precision of a soggy chip.
I wondered, Tony, old boy, was whether we could come to some sort of, you know, accommodation.
On your bike, pal.
Oh, no, Sherry. We may need the Liberals, you never know. We could spare you a little room in the attic, I suppose, Ashdown. You'd have to share with your secretary, of course.
Now you're talking, old boy. Come on, doll. Let's check out the shag pile.
Oh, Paddy, you are awful.
Right, Blair, let's sort this out man to man.
Where?
Why can't you just admit defeat with grace?
Well, even if you have won, you might at least give Norma and me a few moments to collect our thoughts.
Of course we will, Chook. I expect you want to savour those last few moments on your own.
No, I want to ring round a few friends in the city, get myself a job.
Oh, heaven's sake.
Well, why not? The rest of the cabinet have those Judases. They're all becoming city bankers.
Not much change there, then.
Trouble is, who's going to want me? I've got no qualifications, no experience, no particular talent.
Oh, now then, Chook, that's not true. When I think of the way you've driven your party forward...
Oh, yes, and the moving speeches you've given.
Yes?
Well, it's obvious, isn't it?
Oh, no.
Well, there's our lorry over there. That needs driving away.
Let's get in and move it, eh, Chook?
Go on, off you go.
Rory, leave that alone.
What?
Please stop prodding my pudding. Especially with that metal detector.
I was just checking for sixpences.
Oh, you sweet old-fashioned thing.
June, are we having pea soup for starters?
No, why?
In that case, I'll strain the sprout, shall I? I must say you're doing us proud here, Junie. This meal must have cost a small fortune.
Well, let's just say I'm hoping for a win on the lottery.
Well, I'll stop playing that now. The prizes are getting too small. It's obvious where the real money's going, and has been right from the start, at Camelot. Not only do we make a good few bob here, we also get our fingers in the pot. I've really got a rather cushy job here at Camelot. We give a lot of money to good causes, and we think we're the best good cause we've got. My contract's simply stuffed with bonus clauses at Camelot. Camelot, no cash for medical research. Not at Camelot. Camelot, we've left them in the lurch. So my advice to them is buy a ticket, and then they'd stand a chance of weekly wins. Meanwhile, I'll earn a lot by sitting on my pot and telling people charity begins at Camelot.
How's lunch doing, June? The Hudlines Christmas stocking will be on soon, and I don't want to miss it.
No, neither do we. What have you been up to?
Oh, you'll see in a minute. Oh, June, what's that on your wall? Good grief, it's a nude scuba diver's calendar.
Yeah, have a peep at January.
Good God. It's amazing how the cold weather hasn't affected your snorkel, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, those ladies at the Ralston and District WI had no idea what they were starting.
True. Everybody's at it now. Yes, no, stand up by itself.
Yes, all right. Thank you. Thank you. Could I have some hush, please?
Hush.
Stum. Hush. Stum, please. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lovely, please. I am the director of this photographic shoot. Olympus Mintz is my name. And I'd like to thank everyone here for volunteering to pose as nature intended for my millennium calendar. Also, 1,000 blown kisses to the warden for allowing me to use your daycare centre as the location.
All right. So,
if I could have my first two models, please, can we make a start?
Here we are. Come on, go. He's ready for us.
Oh, is it time for Jerry Springer?
No. No, it is not. We're not watching the telly this afternoon.
That's why our chairs aren't in a semicircle. We are here to expose our nudities for this nice gentleman.
What? Oh, I'm not getting my kit off for anyone.
I'm sorry, but you'll have to, dear. You signed the agreement. Look.
Yes, I've seen it.
What, that?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I thought I was putting my name down for our annual coach trip to Frinton.
Frinton?
75p, inclusive of fish supper. And a guided tour of the cemetery. Yes.
You'll have to excuse my lady friend, Mush. She's been genetically modified. Yes. Half pensioner and half imbecile now.
I have got the right models here, have I?
Yes, you have, Chunky. She is Ethel Schiffer.
Did you?
And I'm Merlin Dangle.
Oh, dear. Well, let's have you both stripped off, please.
Well, I told you I am not exposing my delights to be ogled at by creeping toms, sex maniacs, and I court judges.
There is a fee.
Where do I disrobe?
Here we'll be fine.
Well, you first, then, Merlin.
Oh, very well. There.
Everything, Mr. Dangle.
Not my appliance.
Everything.
On your own head be it.
God, I hope not.
Oh, I hope you've got a zoom lens on your camera.
I'll smack her in the mouth in a minute.
All right, Miss Shepherd, it's your turn.
Yes, well, I'd like it to go on record that I do this under protest and as a result of a bribe.
Oh, shut your clack, woman, and get them all.
There.
Where?
Don't forget to take off your body stocking, dear.
I have taken off my body stocking.
My God, it's the Dead Sea Scrolls.
You mean that's what you look like in the altogether?
Well, what's wrong with my altogether?
For a start, you look like you've got a couple of knackered hamsters hanging upside down round your waist.
Oh, I think that's an image I shall take to my grave. I really do.
Well, I am not staying here to be insulted. I shall go home and watch Jerry Springer.
No. It's all right, dear. It's all right. Don't panic. If I sit you behind a table with a packet of rich tea fingers and a mug of cocoa strategically placed, I might just get away with it.
Well, in Merlin's case, you'll only need a head cut.
You've insulted me once too often, Ethel Schiffer. I shall herewith offer my talents elsewhere.
Elsewhere? Where elsewhere?
My local church. The vicar is producing a nude calendar for St. Hampton's to raise money. I turned him down at first, but now I shall accept his offer. Anyway, it's for a good cause.
Oh, really? What good cause is that, then?
What else? The Organ Restoration Fund.
There you are. What do you think of that?
Chris, you are kind. You've laid the table.
You better count the cutlery, Jim.
Oh, look, Roy, he's even folded the napkins. What an unusual shape.
Yes. Looks like a cue for a friggin' sketch to me.
Oh, it's getting a bit chilly in here. Chris, give the fire a poke.
Now that is a cue for a friggin' sketch. Next.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Oh, morning, Doctor.
Mr. Friggins.
Tis I. Oh, it's freezing.
Well, tuck your scarf round it then. Now, what can I do for you this morning?
Well, Doctor, I've been working as Father Christmas in the High Street, see?
Yes.
And when I got up this morning, this had happened.
Good Lord. What's that?
Holly.
Holly? Thank God, I thought for a minute it was mistletoe. Now, how did it happen?
I don't know.
Didn't your wife notice anything?
Oh, you know her, Doctor. She wouldn't notice it if she tripped over it in the street.
Yeah. And she's done that before as well, hasn't she? Well, let me have another look.
Ah.
Have you been decorating your Christmas tree?
Why, yes, Doctor.
And listening to Christmas carols?
Yes.
That's what's happened then. You've misunderstood the words.
Oh, have I?
Yes. It's deck the halls with boughs of holly.
It's coming up to 1 o'clock, June. Time for the headlines. Is lunch ready yet?
Yes, I'll go and wheel it in.
Oh, God.
Roy, switch the wireless on, will you?
Serpently, serpently.
That was the headlines. Christmas stocking, starring
What?
Yeah, I don't believe it. I do not believe it. We've missed it, and you said it was nearly 1 o'clock.
Well, it is. Look. Oh, no. Oh, look at this. My watch is going backwards.
Oh, I might have known it. Trust you. That's what comes of wearing some crappy, useless, cheapskate load of junk. Probably came out of a cracker.
But, Roy, you gave me this watch for Christmas.
Did I? Oh, forget it. Come on, let's go down the pub.
All right.
Come on.
Here we are, boys. Lunch is served.
Oh. Oh, all done, June. And, though I say it myself, I think I deserve a small sherry.
Yes, of course. Where are the others?
Well, Roy and Chris, oh, they've gone down the pub.
What? After all they said? Oh, men. Oh, well, looks like it's just you and me, Cleggy.
Oh, splendid. I'm starving. Ah, but before I can sit down to eat, there's something I've got to do first.
Upstairs, second on the left.
No, not that. This. The Hudlines Christmas Stocking, starring Roy Hudd, Chris Emmett and June Whitfield, with Peter Moss and the Hudliners. The announcer was Richard Clegg. Sketches were by Charlie Adams, Debbie Barham, Mike Coleman, Rob Colley, Paul B. Davis, Michael Dines, Tony Hare and Glenn Mitchell, Jed Parsons, David Renwick, Stuart Silver, Peter Spence, Alexa Stepaniak, Rain Sisser and Tony Weekly, with songs by Richard Quick and Jeremy Brown. The broadcast assistant was Yolanta Zabuki. The programme was researched and written by Chris Emmett and Tony Hare and compiled by our producer, Carol Smith.